these young people's lives. You know, they'll never forget that. I'll tell you a little story right quick. I'm going to ask Brother Barry. Brother Barry's going to deliver the message tonight. Brother Barry, come on up here. He can come on up here and have a seat right here. I'll be thinking about 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. My son, when he went to camp here, and it seemed like yesterday to me, been several years ago now, but my grandson, the first year he was in camp, was sitting in a chair, and he looks up on the back of a chair, and it has Michael Perkins Jr. carved in, etched in there, etched in stone with a pocket knife. Now, that was my boy that did that. He defaced church property. But it was fascinating to me that my grandson happened to sit in that certain chair. What's the chances of that happening? You know, that was God, you know? And it had an impact on my son's life. It's had an impact on my grandson. And regardless of what they may do in the next few weeks or the next few months, that's something that they're going to carry with them the rest of their lives. And I've heard people say before that camp is it's a big spiritual week, and then it's a big letdown afterwards. It may be. But that spiritual high that they have for that 1 week that they're taken out of the world, they take them out there to camp. They do away with the television, do away with those computers and all of the games. All that's done away with. And they get a week that they spend time with God and those counselors. And that has a great effect on the rest of their life, regardless of what happens after that. So we need to remind ourselves of that and continue to give and take care. Camp's a beautiful place. Oh, I love it out there. And there's so many that work so hard to make all that happen. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for that. Brother Pitts does an awesome job. He lives out there, and he has to claim the place back every year and keeps Bigfoot fought off out there. And him and Andy, they do a great job out there. But anyhow, I just want to thank you all so much for Camp Glory. Come on, Brother Barry, preach to us.
Take your Bibles if you want and go to the book of Revelations tonight, if you would. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to turn right after we get done there to the 2 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. And God has been good. Amen. In my life. Amen. I started to tear up tonight when the girl sang that song. And everything's been ordained by the Lord tonight. Amen. I have been blessed. Amen. I've been blessed by the Lord tonight. And everything that's been done, boy, it's good to be in church tonight. It's good to be in my church tonight. Amen. It's good to see you tonight, brother. Amen. I didn't know you were here. Amen, Brother Winston. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you tonight, man, you can't find this everywhere. You know, not everywhere is like this. And I know I've told you that over and over time, and I get in this place, but I'm here to tell you, listen, we need to be thankful for what we got. And if you're in the tape room tonight, I don't know if this thing is working. I'll move this thing. I got it on. Okay, see. All right, so, but tonight for the tape room, Hold Fast is the title of the message, if you would. Hold Fast. I believe that the Lord is, he's just been good to us. In my life, I can tell you, today's my mom's birthday. Amen. Amen. And I've been blessed with a good, godly mom that took care of me. Amen. And took me to church. Sacrificed for me. Praise the Lord. So that I could come to a place, boy, that after I had spent 18 years of my life on this planet, God called me to preach. And I finally just turned over to him and said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That was because of my mama. I got character and integrity today because of my dad. I mean, God blessed me with a daddy that cared about me and just took care of me and spent time on me and just blessed me. Listen, I'm here today because of church, man, a preacher of the gospel, man. He left home and sold everything he had and moved away and went to Bible college and came back to my town and planted a church. And man, one day, that assistant pastor from the church came by my uncle's house, amen, my grandparents' house, and knocked the door and won a 15-year-old boy to Christ, amen. And he started going to church, and he fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and his mom and dad had to go figure out what it was all about. And amen, and listen, then they started taking a 5-year-old young grandson to church because my mom and dad wouldn't go, but they were hauling me into church, amen. They'd come by the house. One day, I grabbed a steering wheel, run my grandmother into the ditch, amen, but we still got out and went to church, amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Listen, I don't know where else to be. Where else would you be tonight if you weren't in church? Amen. Don't tell me. All right. Hold fast. Revelations chapter number 3. I want to say hi to my dear wife and children. I don't know which cameras get me tonight, but amen. I'll tell you what, they're watching tonight, and I've been without them, so if I get a little preachy tonight, we're just having family devotions. Amen. Revelations chapter number 3. Let's pray together, and then we'll begin tonight. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for how you have blessed my life, dear God. I thank you for being able to stand in this place, the pulpit of my preacher. And I beg you, dear God, tonight that you would use what I am tonight and who I am tonight to deliver your message, just as your messenger boy. Dear Holy Spirit of God, would you do what I cannot do and go into the hearts of the people that are here and use this message that you've given and laid on my heart, dear God, to use them, dear God, to hold fast to the things that they have, to be encouraged, dear God, to just go on another day, to get another Sunday and to have people baptized and people saved. And dear God, help us to be encouraged and seeing your word that it isn't going to be long and you're coming back. Dear God, I pray you'd come quickly. But until you come, dear God, help us to hold fast to the things that we know that's in this book. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 7, we'll begin reading. But I want to say this tonight. If you pastors preach so many times through the book of Revelations, I don't want to be remiss. I know that I'm going to kind of jump in, and I don't have time to teach, amen, the book of Revelation tonight. But here in this third chapter and part of the second chapter, you'll find the seven churches of Asia there. And they were seven actual churches there during the time of the Apostle John, but they also marked seven church periods of time. And you've heard your preacher say that. Pastor Carter has said it over and over again, and I believe wholeheartedly, according to his word and according to Scripture, where we're at today, we are part of the Laodicean church age. We are living in that age, and it's a cold, lukewarm day. And I want to tell you, listen, but I've heard him say we don't have to be that church. We're not that church. He wants us to be a Philadelphian age church. And I know that as we look and see, and you look back in this chapter here, and we're looking that verse, we see that the church at Philadelphia, and I've heard others say that there's no rebuke. But I want you to look at it with me tonight, because there was something that I read in there, and this isn't something new, amen. If it's new, it's not true, amen. But it's the old book. It's in the same old place. But as I looked at it, God brought something else out of there. And I don't know about you, but I don't like it when people say you have little strength. All right. It says that you have little strength. Listen, I'm not proud to be strong, and sometimes I realize that we live in these frail bodies, and sometimes our strength is gone, and we need to help up. But listen, we live in a day and age that Jesus says, even if we are a Philadelphian church in the Laodicean church age, he says that we have little strength. I believe that he's referring to the power of the Holy Spirit upon the church of our day. I believe even if we are the Philadelphian church, well, we don't know power like other church ages have known power. We don't pray for the power of God like we ought to. We don't beg God. Man, I remember I've come over here late at night to make sure these light bulbs were on when I was in Bible college. I wanted to make sure everything was right, and I was checking everything out, and I'd come into this place, and I'd see my preacher. As I turned the lights on, he'd be kneeling beside each pew, working his way on a Saturday night through the preach. Listen, because he wanted to have power, not only in his own life, but in the pew, so that the pew could have power, so that the pew could, listen, could work and have power. Listen, you know that in my life, listen, you know my kids, when I sit over there in that pew, my children are looking to see what Dad's doing, to see if I'm following in the Bible, to see if I'm on my phone or whether I'm in the book, to see whether I'm listening to the preacher or whether I'm doing my own thing. Listen, tonight, can I tell you, listen, I believe that the thing that the church lacks today, what we lack in our own personal lives, is the power of God. Every one of us got all of the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to get. But listen, the power that God can live through you and give you in your life is determined on how much you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. In this seventh chapter, I want to read you the account to the church of Philadelphia here, and then we're going to read, and we're going to jump to 2 Timothy, and I know that the time is already late, and the time is well spent, amen, but we're going to press forward. I believe we can get it all done, but if you'll just hang with me, if you'll listen quick, I'll preach quick. It says here in the seventh verse of the third chapter of the book of Revelation, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I want you to listen to that again. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Listen, tonight the message, the mindset is hold fast. Hold fast to the old things. Hold fast to the day that you got saved, remembering that the book was precious to you and that you were saved and on your way to heaven. Man, hold fast to some things. This book has got some things in it. Hold fast to old time standards. Hold fast to some old time music. Hold fast to some things. Listen, we got some things to hold on to. Hold on to these kids. Some of you, man, he said, man, give to this things. I believe this is a giving church. I believe, listen, there's so many teenagers going to this meeting. I'm excited that God's going to do something in their lives. But listen, hold fast, teenager, to what you hear and live godly in this present world. Listen, I'm here to tell you, hold fast. If you don't hold fast, listen, that word hold fast in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says this. It's got this mindset of a hook, not just to grab hold and to lay hold on something, but to hook deep into it. It's an actual Bible word that you'll find in 2 Timothy. It's a one word, hold fast. And it was defined, listen, not in the Greek and in the Latin, but in the English for us to understand tonight. Listen, I want you to understand that we need to hold fast. We live in a day and age that everybody's letting things slip. We live in a day and age where good church people don't live, dress, and act and talk like they used to. Amen. Listen, if you were different a decade ago, and it was right a decade ago, and it was preached a decade ago, it's still right today, tonight. It's still right to live. Man, we got to hold fast. Don't let it slip. Because if we let it slip, we're going to become the church of Laodicea. If we let it slip, we're no longer the church of Philadelphia who has a little strength. Listen, I believe wholeheartedly tonight that the Holy Ghost of God is the hook that God gave us to hang on. Listen, everything in this life, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, then you'll see that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that Jesus purchased us with his own blood so that we could be adopted into the family of God. And in that verse number 13, you'll find that the Holy Spirit of God seals the believer until the day of redemption. And listen to me tonight, that sealing hook, the hold fastness that you need is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. If we're going to hold fast and we're going to stick it out in this present day, it's going to be the Holy Spirit of God living in the believer, living right, keeping sin out of your life. That's going to help us hold fast. He's going to be the one that does the holding. I don't have it in me to hold on. I don't have it in me. Listen, it's only the Holy Spirit is in me that can do that. He does the sealing in me tonight. Listen tonight, if you would, listen. I want to show you some things in this verse, and then we want to go over to, I know it's Bible study, so let's get to Bible study. And looking at it with me here in verse number 7, he says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "and no man shutteth and openeth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hath kept my word and hath not denied my name." Behold, let's not start that verse. We look over it. He says we have an open door. We have an open door here, and I've heard all kinds of people preach all kinds of things, and I believe it. I believe God's opened the door of the gospel all across this world, and that we as a Philadelphian church, that he'll open the door for us to get the gospel out as long as we are still a true doctrine Philadelphian Baptist church today. I'm here to tell you, listen, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to open a door, a window for us, a hole for us to get the gospel out to this world. And if we stay right and we stay where we are, no matter how little strength we have, he's going to keep that door open so that we can get his gospel around this world. But I also believe, if you'll look over in chapter number 4, he's talking about another open door that he's kicked open and he's holding open for the church. Amen. And he says here, and Paul, he's saying to John, he says, "After this," in verse 1, "this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it were as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee these, look, the things which must be hereafter. As if you've ever heard Pastor Carter preach this, that we believe that that is the rapture of the church. There's a door open in heaven. Listen, that door opens, and I believe no man can shut it if you're saved. He said that you've called upon his name. Amen. I'm excited tonight to know that there's a door open in heaven waiting for me to go through it. There's going to be a day that Jesus descends and comes for his church, and we're going to be called out together, and I'm looking forward to that day. But the Philadelphian church, he says, to hold fast so you don't lose your crown. See, we're not just hanging out and waiting for him to come so that we can go be with him. Listen, it'd be much easier for all of us if, man, when we get saved, poof, we'd be up there with him. But he didn't leave us here to go poof. He didn't leave us here to just kind of see if we can endure. He left us here. Listen, the reason I'm here is because someone else that he left here told me about Jesus. And if he left them here to tell me, then he left you and me here to tell others as well. Listen, there was a lot of people I seen on the way in. When I got gas today, there were people all around the gas pump, amen, that needed Jesus. There were people, listen, all over town, there was people. I stood in front of the tower building today and looked at the bushes and the shrubs and was checking out things around there, and there's a lot of work to be done, amen. But there were people walking up and down the street that needed Jesus. Everybody in Haines City aren't saved. Not tonight. Everybody in Poinciana tonight is not saved. Everybody in Winter Haven and Davenport and Dundee and all around this place, there are people that, listen, if they died tonight, that they would bust hell wide open. And you and I were left here to hold fast what the Lord left us and to take it to the door and say, hey, Jesus saved me. Amen. Like Paul, boy, I was walking down the road one day, and a bright light struck me down. Amen. Listen, tonight, I don't know what your testimony is, but there's people at doors all over the town that need to hear it. They need to hear that you grew up in a good Christian home, and one day you saw that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. An open door that no man can shut. What a blessing. He says we have little strength. That means we have no power. I believe we've covered it. Look at it with me. He comes on down and he says, behold, I will make them which are the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. There's a bunch of people out here today that believe in replacement theology. Preacher's been dealing with it a little bit, so I'm not going to indulge in it. But listen, I believe, listen, if they don't believe that they're going out in the first boat, they believe in replacement theology. Somewhere, they switched up the church with the Jews because, listen, the church does not go into the tribulation period. Amen? Not good church members, not bad church members. Everybody's going out in the first boat. If it bothers you, amen, get back in the book. Amen? Because some man taught you that, not the book. Some man. Reformed theology. Reformation theology. Somebody replaced us. So listen, I didn't replace the Jew. God still got a plan for him. God still wants him to be saved. God still loves him like he always did, but he blinded their eyes. And thank God, listen, what a blessing tonight to be a part of the church. Amen. Amen. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I believe that's the tribulation period, friend. Amen. So if you didn't believe it before, then the Bible just said it for you. Amen. He said there, we didn't even read the whole verse. He says, the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. He said, well, Brother Parsons, there's been tribulations and temptations, not for the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I'm getting out of here before the trouble starts. I'm glad before the Antichrist shows up on the scene, amen, I'm going to see the real Christ, the Messiah, the one that's going to come back for his chosen people, amen. He's going to come back for them in the second coming, but listen, he's coming back for his bride, amen, a choice bride, one that, listen, that ought to keep herself spotless, that ought to keep herself clean, that ought, listen, I know that we can't be sinless, but friend, we ought to keep ourselves cleaned up. I don't know about you, but you know, I come in here tonight, and I was going to preach tonight, amen, and every time I come to church, I try to clean up. I don't want to smell like somebody that, you know, slept in the ditch last night. Amen. I try to clean myself up, but I do realize that I'm still in this old stinky flesh. I do realize that this is the hottest place on earth, I believe. Amen. Compared to where I came from. Amen. And I believe, you know, before you get from out of the shower and you can get to the church house, there is perspiration going on. And so as good as I can clean myself up, I'm still not what you would call perfectly clean. Focus on it, friend, you know, but I'm as clean as I could get to get here because I wanted to present myself to the Lord tonight. I wanted to come and worship Him. Listen, that ought to be every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, we ought to clean up the best we can get cleaned up. We ought to live for Him the best way we know how. We ought to get in this book and find a better way how to serve Him and love Him and lead, just live for Him. Amen. In 2 Timothy, if you'll go there with me quickly tonight, 2 Timothy tonight. Having been blessed, man, I tell you, I don't know, as a church, boy, Philadelphian Church Aid, I believe we've been blessed. I believe that we've held fast. But here in 2 Timothy, we're going to find that term hold fast again. I want you to look at it with me in verse 3. I would have started later for time's sake, but it's just too good. We got to go back to get the context if we could. In verse number 3 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight, he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Did you hear that? With pure conscience. You know, there's a conscience inside of a man, and you know, when you go against your Savior, there was one time, and I'm not going to display my sin before you tonight, but I want to tell you, there was one time in my life that my dad had to look at me and say, son, I'm disappointed in you. I wish he'd have took a bat to me, to be honest with you. I wish he'd have pulled his belt off and whooped me. That lash of words that came from my dad's mouth saying he was disappointed in me, it was the only time my dad ever said it. It's the only time I've ever had to hear him say it in this life. Broke my heart. He said, you are a disappointment to me because I'd done something that I knew good and well wasn't right. It broke my dad's heart. And from that day till this, I have lived my life in a way that would be pleasing to my earthly father. Because I never want to hear those words again. Never. Because I love him. I want to honor him. And if I would live that way before my earthly father, how should I live for my heavenly father? Who gave his son to die. Listen, I am the son of my earthly father, but the heavenly father gave his only begotten son to die for me, to take my place so that I could be his son and live with him someday. How much more as an adopted son, one that he didn't have to come and purchase, one that he didn't have to go out of his way and buy back into himself. How much more should I live for him? How much more should I clean myself up for him? How much more should his desire be higher than my own in this life? Listen tonight. Listen. We're blessed tonight to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, to have a heavenly Father that bestows so many heavenly gifts upon us, and we have one that we can look to and live for and love with all our lives. Listen, this book tells us how to live that way. This book is a blessing to us and each one of us. And he says, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, with that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Boy, he prayed for this brother. And we're going to get into that. But he says in verse number 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. It sounds like that they loved each other. Timothy is crying tears over Paul, and he's praying for Timothy. They loved each other. When I call to remembrance, he says in verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Listen tonight. When I think about what God has done for me, it stirs me up. Amen. Listen, when I get down and somebody, some other brethren has blessed me out, I think about what God's done for me. And it don't take long for me to get stirred up for him again. When somebody else comes and I don't think they did me right, I think about what the Lord has done for me in my life. Now, some of you, you can look back and see where he brought you out of. Amen. Maybe you're a first generation Christian and God reached way down to get you. But some of us can look back at the godly heritage that God's put in our lives. Watch step by step that God reached back and he got my grandmom and he got my granddad and he got my uncle and he got my aunt and he pulled it all together until finally, man, he got me. Because he loved me. Listen, boy, it stirs me up when I start thinking about all that. Boy, I know I've told it here again, but I'll tell it again, amen, that there was a little greenhouse on our church property. I got to live in that thing for about 5 years before I come back home, amen, to Landmark. But, boy, I lived in that little place, and I used to think, man, the guy that knocked the door of my uncle, who in turn brought my grandparents, who in turn brought me to church and got saved, lived in this house. God used this place to house the soul winner that was going to get to me eventually one day. Listen, you realize, listen, there's a crown for the soul winner. Do you know why we got to hold fast? Listen, I want to hold fast because, listen, that guy that lived in that house, I used to sit there and contemplate every soul that I win. I was getting ready to go soul winning on Thursday night. The guy that used to live in this house is going to get credit for some of that. You know, he's going to get credit. If I win a soul tonight, he's responsible way down the road, amen? It's like one of them weird triangle pyramid things that the Amway used to try, amen? Amen, this is the best one I've ever been a part of. The Lord Jesus is the only one that's ever going to pay off, amen? Amen, and there's crowns at the other end of it. I'm excited tonight because, listen, it's easy to get stirred up when you realize what God's done for us. It's easy to get down in the dumps when you start thinking about all the things you asked for that he didn't give you because you still... You know, you say, well, I asked God for this and he didn't do anything for me. I asked God for this and he didn't do that. Well, when did you start telling God what to do? When did God start listening to you? Amen? It's a petition. Amen? You can put a bunch of names on a petition and usually you don't get nothing going until you get a bunch of names on that petition. You sign your name to the petition and take it to the governor and see what happens. Amen? Hey, that's good. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you tonight, listen, we got a God that wants to do more, I mean, above all that we think or ask. That's the kind of God that we have. But just because he didn't give it to you the first time doesn't mean he don't want you to have it. It don't mean that he ain't going to show up one of these days. But I want to tell you, listen, I've got a God that never came, listen, a day late and a dollar short. He always, listen, he always showed up when I needed him. Amen. Sometimes I thought he was late, but when he showed up, I realized, hey, he's right on time. Because I wouldn't have trusted him like I did. You know, he's made me wait a bunch of times until I realized that it was him. Man, it wasn't nobody else. Yes, sir. What a God. What a Savior. What a Father, what a Lord. Listen, he says here in this, man, he's going to get in. We got to get to the meat of it. Look at verse 7 with me. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What kind of spirit is that? That's the Holy Spirit of God. He gave us, listen, it's not one of fear. Listen, fear is the enemy of faith. He didn't give us we fear things. We fear about going to the door and knocking the door. We fear what people are going, how they're going to reject us. We fear what's everybody going. We fear, you know, how we're going to pay our bills next month. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Listen, he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but listen, he wants us to give us a spirit of faith that's in him. That's powerful. One of love and of a sound mind. Listen, church, he keeps going here. I want you to get this with me. I'm going to read through and we're going to go back. He says in verse number 8, "Whoo, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And then verse 13, he says, hold fast. the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I want to just kind of summarize the message. I wanted to have a little bit more time tonight, but I want to try to head for home as hard as I can. Listen, in verse number 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then he spends a good amount of time telling us that he's a prisoner. Amen. He tells me that he's trying to let us know that, listen, all that they live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Right. He's letting us know that he's bound. He even says that just because I'm bound, in the verse that he goes here, for in verse 12, "For that which I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Whether they try to hush us, whether they handcuff us, whether they put us on the news and say all kinds of bad things about us, listen, doesn't matter. I'm not ashamed of Christ. Amen. You better buckle down and put your seatbelt on, because we live in a Laodicean church age, and I'm here to tell you, listen, they ain't done saying bad things about us. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, listen, they're not going to lay down, but I've decided I'm not going to lay down either. Amen. I've decided I'm going to put a hook in that fish, and I'm going to hold tight. Amen. I'm not turning loose. I'm not turning loose to this book. I'm not turning loose to what I've been taught all my life, that Jesus is coming back one day for his church before the tribulation. I'm not turning back on my standards. The way my girls dress is going to be the way, listen, the way that my mom taught me that my wife ought to dress and had me looking for one. Listen, if it was good enough for my grandmom, it's good enough for my daughter. If it was good enough for my dad, then it's good enough for me. Listen, I'm here to tell you, we need to get back to the old time way, to the old time path. We need to get back to it. We need to try to figure out if there's anything older than what we were taught. We need to go back, not forward. This foolishness of the world trying to drag the church along and keep us at arm length and just let us be a little bit more worldly each year. And every time we take one more step, listen, we need to get back to where we were. Was the church more powerful when it kept the standard, or was it weaker? Don't tell me that today's ideas, today's powerfulness of bringing it. Listen, if you can bring, just because you can get a crowd doesn't mean that you're doing anything for the Lord. Just because you swell up doesn't mean that there's life there. I've seen a lot of stuff on the side of the road that swells up, but it ain't alive anymore. Amen? I want to have power. I don't want to swell up. I want to grow. I don't want to swell up till I pop. I want to grow. Listen, I believe that we live in a day and age that the true church can be clearly seen without any binoculars. You don't have to dust off the glasses to see who really is sticking to the book. Everybody is coming out and saying who they are. So why don't we? Why don't we just come out and tell them who we are? We're the ones that believe the truth. We're the ones that still where we were 10 years ago. We're still where we were 30 years ago. You're the ones that have changed. We need to hold fast to what we believe. Listen, changing ain't going to help us. Listen, there was a time that, man, it was the regular thing for a family to have devotions in their home. There was a day and age where we didn't have to have Sunday night and Wednesday night all the time way back when, because Daddy had it out every night when he'd come home. He'd pull the Bible out. He'd say, "We're about to have church right here in the house. We're about to teach something." The reason that our churches and our country are where they are is not because of the White House, but because of the little White House that most of the church members live in. Because we don't pull the book out all week long. This thing is dusted off to come to church. Listen, you can't hold fast to something you don't know. You can't hold fast and have power in something that you haven't proved. David went out to battle, and he didn't take all of Saul's armor and the sword and a spear and the shield. He didn't take all that stuff, not because it didn't fit. You read back a couple of chapters, he was an armor bearer. He knew what he was doing with that. But he said, I haven't proved it. I've never been in a battle with all this. But I have been in a battle with a sling in my two bare hands, and God brought me through it. And he looked down and he said, you know what, King? This is in the Greek. He says, if you'll just let me go out there, I know the Lord will go with me with these two bare hands and a sling, and I can get it done. I don't need all that stuff you're trying to give me. I don't need all your programs. I don't need all your newfangled ways and the brand new armor and the sharpest sword that you think is going to glimmer and blind that dude from a distance. I just need what God gave me. He placed me here with. Listen, I'm here to tell you tonight. Listen, he says power, love, and a sound mind. Look at the last verse right here. The last one we read here. We'll go to verse 13. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me just spell it out for you. We'll be done, church. He says, hold fast the form of sound words. Listen, the form of sound words that we've held to is an English Bible.
Amen.
Amen. It's a King James Bible.
That's right.
It's a form of sound words. That word form means a pattern. Okay? Now, you ladies, some of you, now this is going way back. This is still pretty old-fashioned. You know, they used to have, I remember my aunt breaking out a pattern to make dresses, to make culottes at my house. Y'all remember what culottes are? Hate men. Listen up now, church. I want to tell you, listen, a pattern, if you do it, if you cut right along that pattern, it'll come out the same every time. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that when they cut that pattern and they made that pattern, it's the same thing over and over again. Everybody can have the same thing. You know, this book, it's form. It's a form of sound words. God made a pattern and set it out. Listen, every time it's copied, it's the same thing. It's the same, listen, inspired book in English. Amen. I want to tell you, listen, not only do we need to hold fast to sound words, but we need to hold fast. Listen, we need to hold fast to love. You know, a church is never torn apart from the outside. It's always from the inside. Always. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not stand against it. But I'm here to tell you, listen, I've seen a bunch of them tore up from the inside out. And it's because they didn't love right. And you and I, listen, we cannot love right unless we do it. He says right here, look at this verse. He says right here in verse 3, hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in who? Christ Jesus. You know, if I set out to love you the way Jesus loves you, we're going to be all right. If you set out to love me like Jesus loves me, you know, he looks over all my bumps and bruises. He looks over all my scars and my imperfections. He looks over how I might be rough on the edges. He just loves me, flat out loves me. Don't matter who I am. Listen, as a church body, we need to get back and hold fast to loving people like Jesus does.
Amen.
Not trying to size them up and decide who we're going to love and who we're not going to love, who we're going to fellowship with and who we're not. We're the church. We're a local body of believers that need to stick together and hold fast together. If we don't stick together, who's going to stand up for us?
Yeah, right.
If we don't love each other, who's going to love us?
Right.
Listen tonight, man, we got to get back and hold fast to that old-fashioned love that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he loves me. Listen, I'm so glad that God has blessed me being in a church that already is doing these things. But we better hold fast. He says lastly here, he was talking about power, not a spirit of fear, but of power. And Paul reverses these things as he goes through, as he's under the guise of the Holy Spirit. He started out and he ended with a sound mind. The only way to get a sound mind is with sound words through the Word of God. The only way to have the right kind of love is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, I want you to see this. That good thing, which was verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. If you try to hold on yourself, you're not going to be able to hold on.
Amen.
If you try to do it in your own power, listen, if I come up here tonight Brother Pritchard would know this. He knows all about electricity. Listen, if I come up here with a vacuum and I just started pushing that thing around without plugging it in, I wouldn't get a whole lot done. I could even do a good job and go, I can make my own noise. Or I could do the one that sounds like my vacuum cleaner. Wah! You know, like at my house. Amen. We need a new one. Amen. If you could bless us. Anyway, but you know, but if you push that thing around, it ain't doing the job. We're no different than that. We need to plug into the source of power. We need to tap in so that we can run the way we're supposed to run. Not faking it, not making noise so everybody thinks we're doing it. Not running around. Listen, why would you do that anyway? Why would you just keep up posture and just push yourself around and then make noise like you're actually doing something? You know why? Because we forget. We don't remind ourselves of how good God is. We don't remind ourselves of just what God has brought us through and who we are. Listen, and you forget that the people in this place love you just like Jesus does. You know why people leave here? Leave this place? Because they don't feel loved. People don't come for the preaching. I'm going to be honest with you. Amen. I learned that a long time ago. Some of the preacher boys come and you want to listen to it and it helps you. Don't get me wrong now. Don't get upset with me. But most of the time that you keep coming back and you keep coming back is because you want to see so-and-so and you love them. You want to see so-and-so over here, your friend. You want to talk with your brother in Christ. You want to hold fast with a group of people that love the Lord, that have sound minds and believe in sound words and have the power of God in their life. I had teenagers. We used to go to Mount Salem Revival Grounds up in West Virginia. And I had a teenager that wasn't in our church that called and begged me to let her go with us. She said, I know God is there. I met with him. I felt the power of God. I've got to get back there. Isn't it a blessing to have a church where when you come in the doors, you don't have to go to West Virginia. You don't have to go away to camp. You can show up and you know that the power of God is in this place. You can come every week. My wife is watching and she's not here, so she won't wring my neck afterwards. Listen, every week that we come and sit right over there, my wife goes, I love this place. I'm so glad to be back. I love this church. I love these people, and they love us. Listen, hold fast with me, if you would, church, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Not a salvation message, but tonight, if God spoke to your heart, something that you either let up on or you just want to ask God,